All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, April 1st of 2025, but we will be doing no joking on this show. This show is a show where I come on and help people build better DFS lineups, answering their questions all day long. Here we have plenty of DFS action coming at you. First thing we got is an 11-game MLB slate. Then we also have a 6-game NBA slate. We have a 10-game NHL slate as well. So plenty of DFS action coming at you. For those of you who don't know me, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches here over at SaberSim. And already talked about the show a little bit here, but we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. If you ever want to get your questions answered, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Drop it live in the YouTube chat or third, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord before the show, and I will get to all the questions before the end of the show, as well as do a slate demo here. So with that said, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. And we will jump right in. We did have one question come in before the show here. First question, what do you think of using rank rather than unique rank in MLB? It seems like with so many lineups to play, I would be playing worse lineups in some contests. So let's just talk about the differences, right? So let's say you are playing 320 max contests, right? And why don't we just like kick off a build so we can have one to work with while we talk through this. So I'm going to kick off this build. So the difference, right? Say we have 320 maxes. If I use rank and I'm using, say, Saber Score, for instance, then I will be putting the same 20 lineups into all three contests. If I use rank fill, we'll take the top 20. It'll put them into each contest one at a time. Now, if I use unique rank, what will happen is it will put the top 20 into the first listed contest, next 20 into the second listed contest, next 20 into the third listed contest, okay? So the way I recommend doing this is if I am using Saber Score, I would recommend using unique rank. If I am using ROI, I would recommend using rank. And the reason for that is because, say, you know, I'm playing 320 maxes, they all fall within like the 10K to 50K Saber Score range. The sorting metric for each contest is exactly the same. So you are for sure going to get the same 20 lineups in all three contests. Kind of don't want that. You know, there are so many good and viable lineups in MLB that doesn't really make a ton of sense to do that. You know, you do want to try and diversify a little bit there. Now, when it comes to ROI, the reason I recommend using rank fill is because the ROIs that a lineup has are different for every contest. Okay. I could come down here and look and be like, okay, in the bat flip, we're seeing an ROI of 340. Well, maybe in a single entry, we see an ROI of like 70%, right? And so the ROIs are going to be different. Every time I've done this example, let's say I have like 220 maxes, right? And maybe I use rank fill and I save, I might end up playing 27 unique lineups I might have like seven lineups like overlap. So I might end up with, you know, 30, I don't know how many, but my point is that the lineups aren't guaranteed to overlay when you use rank fill with ROI, because each ROI for each contest is a different sorting metric effectively. So you might get some overlap, but chances are you're not going to get a ton. So you still will probably end up with a good amount of unique lineups there. I think it would be 33, right? If seven overlapped, I think you would end up like 33 uniques or something like that. So I still think you can get to a good number of uniques while playing the best lineups across multiple contests using rank with ROI. But Saber Score way more likely to overlap. So I would use unique rank for Saber Score. So those are my recommendations there. You don't have to follow it. If you want to play the top 20 in all three contests in our example, that's totally fine. Totally up to you. All right. Cheston said, do you use the same filters in terms of number of lineups with ROI less than zero in your initial build? I have noticed that high average is a lower in MLB than NBA. Is that common build issue? So this is a little bit more of a, you know, some sports have higher edge than other sports. Okay. And some contests have higher edge than other contests. You know, one thing I've noticed studying flashback over the years here is that NBA typically tends to be a little bit higher edge than MLB does. Just the MLB ROIs tend to be a little bit flatter. Like I might see 80% ROIs in NBA, but then I might see like 30% ROIs in MLB. Some of it could be contest size. Some of it could just be sport dynamics. But it's okay if the ROIs are different in between sports. I wouldn't be comparing those, I wouldn't think anything is wrong with seeing that. Now, I would still use an ROI greater than zero filter. You still just want to stay away from negative ROI lineups. So, you know, I would come in here, post build, go to my filters, add one, and just still say, you know, ROI greater than zero, regardless of the sport I'm playing. Just a good thing to do in general. And then here for MLB, let's see what that did. That moved 1,300 lineups to the trash in this example. All right. So let's circle back to Discord real quick. Caught up there. Cool. So we're caught up with questions. We're going to keep rolling with the slate demo here. So up front, really didn't do anything. Notice this is a bigger slate. This is 11 games. And min salary has come up a little bit here, right? Min salary is at 49,000. I think we built for a 8-game slate yesterday and minimum salary was at 48,000. So, you know, slate dynamics impact settings is basically the point I want to make. They impact minimax salary. They impact sliders. I think we saw like 9.8 yesterday. Today we see 10.7. The sliders are always being set based on the number of games on the slate. Just want to call out some of those differences that might not be super obvious. Now, one thing we didn't do, which I probably would have done, is turned on this don't use batters against opposing pitchers rule. Other than that, we don't need to do a ton here. I might spot check some pitchers. You know, sometimes I'll come in here and set like a reliever filter. This seems fine. We're actually not getting any here from what I can tell. So like all these are relief pitchers down on the bottom, you know, who are like 4K or less in 0% of our pool. That's good. Even Liberatore, very low projection, zero. So this all looks fine. We could just set some filters up front just to protect those, but we're basically don't have to. So it's nice to spot check those sometimes, but like it's nice to just have that security blanket as well. Dimitri said, can you show an MLB build? Thanks. Perfect. We're already doing that. So good time to tune in. All right. So we built our lineups. We kind of reviewed settings after the fact. I built the lineups so we have them ready to rock and roll first. Now we're about ready, right, to start diving in here. Now, when I built the lineups, we ran the contest sim, we have our average projection, and then I like to add an average ROI aggregate metric here. We have a ROI greater than zero filter on right now. That has moved 1,300 lineups to the trash. So sorting by our contest sim, filtering by our contest sim, average projection, average ROI, aggregate metrics. We really didn't do that much up front. Sorting by exposure. I'm basically ready here to start diving in and start analyzing this. So that's what we're going to do. First thing I like to do is look at the stacks, right? Okay, how are my stacks coming in? Okay, all of my lineups have at minimum a 4-stack. Most of them have 5 stacks, right? 17 out of 20 are 5 stacks, but 3 out of 20 are 4s. Seems okay. team stacks a little concentrated on Cleveland. Kind of interesting, right? Sometimes I like to come in here and sort by projected runs. And just like we are fading pretty hard the like highest run total teams and then taking some shots on like some of these lower teams. I you know, this is like a little bit of like a red flag for me. 13 of our like 20 lineups have 13 stacks here that are like the bottom three run totals. It might just be a little bit too much risk for me, right? Not to say I'm not willing to play them. I am willing to play them. I just don't know if I'm willing to play so much of them. Okay. So sorting by runs, see like this, like 30% Kansas City, like, okay, we're missing some of like the top ones. And then we're taking a shot on like the, slightly lower. That seems good. Right. And then we're kind of hitting and missing with a lot of teams in the middle, but then we're like jamming the teams on the bottom. I don't love that. So we might look at this a little bit closer here. Now, what teams are these? We're just gonna make some notes. Okay, Cleveland and Detroit, right? And then I might go back to sorting the other way. Okay, Cleveland, Detroit. We're pretty okay with KC, and then everyone else is really, really flat here. All right, cool. And then I just want to see. Yeah, I mean, bunch of Cleveland, five stacks. Okay. All right, so making some notes here. One thing I might want to see is who is Cleveland facing? And we're going to sort by projection for pitchers. Okay, so they're facing Michael King. He has 22% ownership. He's decent value. You know, I noticed that like value does come into play like a little bit more in MLB, mostly because the pitchers are like pretty normally distributed. Like value matters in like NBA. I think that, you know, these pitcher graphs mimic NBA players a lot. So I will just like look at the value of these guys. So we're a little low on King. We're jamming Cleveland against him. You know, the builder's telling a story here. I just don't know if we want to go with that story, right? So, okay. So far so good. We have an understanding of what the builder is trying to do. What's also interesting to me is that a lot of our lineups are basically centered around this Seattle-Detroit game. So like we said, we're taking a lot of Detroit, but we're also taking a lot of Logan Gilbert. So it's kind of like, hey, either we think Gilbert is going to dominate, or we're taking the opposite end where he does bad and we're stacking Detroit against him. You know, that approach isn't terrible, especially on like a very high owned pitcher, where you just kind of take like both sides of the coin. Cause like when he does good, like we still have more shares than the field does here. Right. But then we go and like, look at like, the Detroit batters sort of by exposure, you know, these Detroit batters are all like sub 5% ownership. And we have, you know, 15 to 20% of these guys. It seems okay, right? Now, the reason I think the builder is getting to so much of these teams is because their ownership is like sub 1%, okay? So what I would probably do here, is I would probably, so I think this is, I'm going to talk about two different ways to do this, or a couple different ways to do this. Number one is you could say, well, you know, I see like the builder thinks their ownership is super low, but I don't actually think they're going to go, you know, how do I say this? The reason these players are popping so much is because their ownership is so low in the sim. Now, they basically do well enough, often enough, to be a good play over the long term. Now, the question I want to answer is how fragile is this ROI? If I increase their ownership from 0.7 to 2%, do we completely lose the exposure to these players or not? Right? So if you guys remember, ownership is a variable in Saber score. Okay. So what you can do is you can just change the ownerships and then it'll change the Saber score formula. And then you can see if these are still good plays or not. Now, for Ultimate, what you can do is I would change the ownerships of these players. And then I would probably use the generate field from ownership button to create a custom field. And then I would go to my contest tab. And then in the contest tab, which I thought we were going to. I would change the field lineups to the custom field I just built, and then I would rerun the contest sim. So what you're telling the builder is like, okay, I get you're saying they're a good play at this ownership, but what if we slightly raise it, you know, 1% to 2%? Are they still a good play? And, you know, you could assume like, okay, what if they're going to be 2% owned? What if they're going to be 3% owned, right? And the way, you know, you just like go to the team. I just sort by order. And then I would just increase all these, right? Increase all these numbers, 2, 3%. You know, if you want to do like the top 5, 6 batters, 3%, and the 7, 8, 9, like 2% or something like that, fine. You know, you want to scale it, that's okay. But you're trying to test the fragility of the ROI of these teams, right? And then I could do that for Cleveland. I could do that for Detroit. And then I could rerun the contest sim. Even with this same pool of lineups, it's fine. And see what my new exposures would be. So just to reiterate, for Saber Score, I would just change the ownerships, let the Saber Score formula recalculate, and then see how they are. Or what I could do is create a custom field, bump up the ownerships of the players on the teams with the sub 1%, and then again, see how they grade out, after the fact, right? So that's probably what I would do there. If you don't want to do that, you can just limit your exposure to these teams, right? You're like, okay, these teams, you know, even if they're good, you know, if they are sub 2% owned, you know, maybe I just don't want to be that leveraged on them. And maybe I'm just okay with 10% max exposure, right? This will be more than enough leverage here. I'm still going to be, you know, 2, 3, 4 times the field here as far as the amount of stacks I have of those teams. And then that should help me to flatten out my exposures. So yeah, I've capped them to 10, but I still think I'm going to get leverage on them. And then now I could take the other 80% of my lineups and do different things with it too, right? So three ways, I guess, you could approach this. Those are at least the three ways that I can think of. So that's what I would be doing there. All right. So we're doing some risk management here, talking about different ways of interpreting what we're seeing. All seems well. Our exposure to Gilbert goes up with dropping the Detroit stacks seems fine. Now it's really about analyzing the rest of our portfolio. So here, right, looks like our big stand now is Kansas City. So one thing I've talked about, right, is go in here, filter for Kansas City. I like to sort by order, and I like to see how much of this team I'm getting, right? See, I don't like this. I don't like the way this looks. We have a ton of the first 6 batters, and then we have 0 of the 7, 1 of the 8, 1 of the 9. I would probably do like 10% minimum to like 7, 8, 9. And then I'd probably cap 1 through 6 at like 30%. So like, I'm not telling the builder we can't use 30% Kansas City. I'm just saying if you want to use, or 40% Kansas City, you know, if you want to keep that eight out of 20 team stacks of Kansas City, that's fine. But we are going to, you know, balance this out and like use the entire order here. And then once I set that, click apply. And I want to see what happens here. All right, cool. So this is like a lot flatter, right? And, you know, I would probably like do 10% to India too. because I don't want him to be like the lowest. All right. So this looks a lot flatter. I might go like 5% after all to these like other hitters here just to like see what it looks like. I don't love having them at like 15% in like India at 10, but it could be like a salary thing as well. So you're like not, you don't know. This 5% minimum exposure feels a lot better because we're still getting 10%, 8, 10%, 9, and then at least one lineup with our 7 hitter. So we've bumped up exposure to these batters. It looks a lot flatter. We're taking one stand on Bobby Witt Jr. And, you know, he's like such a good player that it seems good. I'm curious what our team stack exposure is now. So it's gone down. It's gone down from 40 to 30. But I still like it. You know, I think this is really good. And this makes me a lot happier with like my KC stacks here. So I like that overall. Let's go back to like our starting point here. All right. So we looked at like stacks. Notice some like 3 stacks and stuff are sneaking in here. You can X these if you want, you know, and tell the builder like, no, I don't want to play these. I'm open to it. It's like, okay for me. But remember, like we make changes, it's going to affect the stacks that we looked at previously. So you need to kind of double back, go back and forth a little bit there. All right. So I like to look at batters and pitchers individually here. So Bobby Witt is our highest exposure at 30%. Seems fine. Pitchers, pretty flat. One stand against Justin Steele. I did notice that the ownership for the A's are like kind of low as well. You could take the same approach with the A's as we did with some of these other teams with Cleveland and Detroit. If we wanted to, you know, we could lower this to 10% as well. Kind of up to you guys' discretion there. And then now it's like doing Atlanta, right? So like maybe we do Atlanta too. I don't know. Like we're not saying we can't play them. We're just saying we don't want to play so much of them. So that seems pretty good. Kansas City went up to 35%. Big stand on Gilbert. A little smaller stand on Burns. Under on Justin Steele, which is related to the A's, so seems okay. Pitchers look fine to me. I'd be happy with my pitchers here. Batters look fine. We've done a lot to manage our team stacks. Notice we didn't even use uniques here. MLB is a little interesting. You know, I'm a little bit more inclined to take a slightly different approach. I think because like the stacking component of it here, not to say mini uniques aren't useful, they are. And maybe it could have got to like some of those spread out stacks without me doing it. So you can start with uniques. I didn't. I think that's okay here. You know, there's more than one way to get where you're trying to go. So figure out what works for you. You know, we could completely start over, start with uniques and go from there. Again, it's all risk management at the end of the day. You know, I set some team stack exposures. I set some batter exposures, all in an effort to manage risk here and diversify. I just diversified in a different way this time. So food for thought, right? Figure out which way works for you. Figure out which way you like and just roll with that. But here, I'd be happy running with one unique. I'd be happy with saving my lineups and kind of going from here. So that is our slate demo for the day. Question in YouTube chat. What is your actual method to building full roster NBA lineups? And how can I stop the app from adding a contest that I have not uploaded? Okay. So There is always going to be a default contest, right? So if I haven't uploaded anything, right? I go to contest tab and there is a contest shown. This is always going to be the Varge Field 150 max contest. It's really so you could come in here, run a build, and just get a sense for the slate. So I was able to run my contest sim. Even though I haven't uploaded anything, I can see what lineups are looking like and kind of do any of that before submitting or reserving any entries. There's actually quite a lot of people that do that. If you don't want this, right, you can just disable it if you want. And you could, or if you want like a different contest, maybe you don't like this one, then I could just go and do a different one, right? Maybe I'm doing the $1 150 max instead. That will replace the other 150 max that I had. So you can just always enable whatever you want. Maybe it's a 50 cent mini max instead, and I want to undo the $1, right? So this will always, you'll always have one contest sim enabled, so you can always run a contest sim without needing to upload an entry file. Now for NBA, we could do an NBA demo here. So I go over to NBA, 6-game main slate tonight. All the games locked within 30 minutes. That's going to be pretty cool. Late swap won't be as important unless there's like major news in this like 30 minute window here. But anyways, you know, late season NBA, smaller slate. Let's sort by value. There's not a ton of value today so far. Another thing I like to do is I like to go to status and I like to look at questionables. So there are a lot of big name questionable players, right? So the slate could change a ton at this point. Karl Anthony Towns, Josh Giddey, Anthony Simons, Kevin Huerter, Bradley Beal, Kuminga, Yabusele, Cole Anthony, right? These are like the big, I don't know, 4 to 8 players you kind of want to keep your eye on, going to have the most impact on the slate if any of them are ruled out. This time of year, I'm okay leaving minimum salary at 48,000. If this ends up becoming some huge value slate and all these guys are ruled out, then I might actually open up my salary band, like lower it, you know, 1,000, 2,000. I think that's okay, right? But for now, we're just going to leave it at default. Two adjustments, two projections. I would probably just like note those players that are questionable and keep my eye on them, right? One of the best resources is the Basketball Monster News Dashboard, and that can give you, you know, updates on questionables and stuff like that. So that looks like this. And you go to news. And then you have like this big list, right? So this will show you who's in, who's out, only players that are pending. So seems like there's like a ton of news in the queue here. All right. So we ran our build. Contest sim is auto running because I have this toggle on, and sim is done. Going to sort by exposure. Going to go to my aggregate metrics. Going to go to average ROI. Click save. All right. So sorting by my contest sim, ROI, aggregate metric, projection metric, sorting by exposures. And now, again, I'm going to go and I'm going to look at my leverage column, right? How much leverage do I have? Okay, there's some like bigger stands here. I might just start off with some uniques. I like to try just going from 1 to 4 right out of the gate. Projection stayed the same. ROI down about 20%. That seems really good to me. I'm pretty happy with that. I could try going to 5. 5 seems good too. I'm actually kind of surprised we're getting to so much uniqueness on like a 6-game slate. But it's working out here, right? Sometimes that happens when there's a little less value. Because when there's more value, there's a little bit more concentration on like some of the best plays on the slate. So the builder will like jam those best plays. And then, you know, those are like spots that you actually want to keep here, right? But 5 unique seems really good. Taking a couple stands here. Other than that, I'd be pretty comfortable with this. I would be ready to save these and upload them. But that's how I'd be building NBA lineups. Question around favorites. How can I put my favorite lineups into contests? So one of the best ways to do that is like, say, I don't know, say you're building 150 lineups, but you really like these 20 lineups, right? Well, what I could do is I could use this star icon. It says save to favorites when you hover over it. When you click this, it will take these 20 lineups. It will move them to this favorites tab over here. It'll tell you how many lineups are in this tab with this little number in parentheses. You'll get a little notification that your favorite processed. And then now you could, you know, use these lineups and combine them with other ones and then fill them all from the favorites tab. Or what you can do, right, is you could favorite individual lineups with the star, or you could lock lineups, right? And when you lock lineups, it'll make sure that lineup is always used when we go to fill your lineups. So there's a couple different ways to do it. Favoriting is a really good one. It allows you to combine different builds, different ideas. You could favorite individual lineups. You could lock lineups to make sure they're used in your contest. So some combination of one of those options should get you the result that you're looking for. But other than that, I think we are caught up here. Did an MLB and NBA demo today. Knocked out the questions in the queue. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.